So there was this man in long sleeve with a tie, and he was a salesman. He was a salesman. And I thought, good, maybe he has drinks to sell me. But the man said, would you like to buy a tie? And he said, what? Buy a tie? What I need now is water. Or at least some fruits or whatever. Buy a tie? No. So he carried on walking, and then he met another salesman selling tie. And this thing happened for another three more salesmen. Five salesmen that he met in total, all trying to sell him a tie. And all he said no. Eventually, he saw in front there was a long queue, a long line. So there was a signboard say, join here for a drink of water. Wow, great. So he queued up. And then he queued up, and then he walked slowly, proceed to the front. And then finally, he saw that it was a restaurant, and there were people inside drinking water. And thought, wow, great. Soon I can be inside to drink water. But when he came to the entrance, he saw a signboard that says, no tie, no entry. No tie, no entry. So what is this story about? It is like salvation. When you don't see a need for salvation, you would not want to consider it. Just like when you don't see the need for a tie until you appear before a restaurant, you won't want to consider it. So you won't want to consider salvation until the day you die and you are before the judgment throne. So that is the same logic here, that many of the people that we try to reach out to, they won't want to consider salvation because they see that there's no need. Why? Why should I accept Christ? Why should I be saved? And that is our job. Our job is to help them to see the benefit of becoming saved. And on top of having that desire to consider another religious faith, they also have the ability and motivation to learn. And that is where we come in. We can try to motivate them, invite them to church, offer them some gospel sharing tool, you know, work it out with them, things like that. And also, being old doesn't mean that they are useless. Being old, a lot of time they have that desire to contribute to community. Just like coming to church, bring a dish, like what my mom did. When I invited her to the Christmas celebration, I think last year, she asked if she could contribute a dish. And initially, I just wanted to tell her, no, just come. Just come and eat. But I thought, okay, since she wants to contribute, just let her do it. And the desire to make friends, we need to recognize that and help them in that too. The longing to be understood and cared for, this is one of the needs that many people have. The search for meaning of life continues. Right? So with all these needs in mind, all these expectations, not just from the elderly, but from many people that we fellowship with every day, we can see that truly they have a need. And these are different ways that we can try to reach out to them. Not many people would come to you with a spiritual void like Nicodemus and say, what must I do to be saved? No. Right? In my 20 years of being a Christian, I think I only have met two that says, they ask me, what must I do to be saved? Two. Alright? So there are many other people waiting for you to reach out to them through this different channel. So these are ways that you can tap, you can use, alright? Next, understanding the uniqueness of the elderly's religious beliefs. The elderly's religious beliefs. We need to understand them in order to reach them. So, first of all, what their religion? Their religion is supposed to be flexible. It's not supposed to be mandatory. What does it mean? Take the Chinese religions, for example. Be it ethnic, be it philosophical, be it Buddhism, Taoism, and even Roman Catholicism. A lot of time, there's no straight answer. I remember as a boy, I used to ask my mom, why do we have to pray to this guy, this statue in the kitchen? And why do you do this? And why do you do that? And the answer most of the time is don't ask. And then later on I found out that they don't know. That's why they tell you not to ask. Right? And then when I grew older, sometimes when there's a big religious festival, I found out that my mom and my dad, they had this agreement on what to do for that God. So, and they had this disagreement because they heard from other people how that thing, that particular event or festival ought to be done. So, the point is, it seems like nobody has the correct answer. Different people have different saying about different gods. That's basically what it is. Alright? No straight answer. It is unlike our relationship with God. There's only one Bible. There's only one Bible, and it is just like... There's only one Bible, and whatever God says, that's it. Whatever God says, that's it. Whatever we are not sure, go back to the Bible. It is not whether you say, I say, and then we agree to disagree, and then we come to a compromise or whatever. No. Just go back to the Bible. Next, their religion is supposed to be friendly. It's supposed to be friendly. It's not supposed to be exclusive. Meaning to say that their view of religion is that it's supposed to be very accommodative. Accommodative. Just like in Acts chapter 17 verses 22-23, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said to those people, "Ye are too superstitious. Why? Because for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." Unknown God. It is still the same today. The mentality is, it is better to worship one more God than one less. Just in case you need him or her or it. Just do it. Who cares? Just do it. Just get one more. Alright? So, that is the kind of their view of religion. Our relationship with God, again, is different. It is exclusive. Our God is a jealous God. And then Jesus said, there's only one way, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And he said, he is the way, not one of the ways. So, very clearly, our relationship with God is that exclusive. It is like members only, that kind of club. And of course, I know that is what makes the other people angry about us. Right, because we're so proud, we're so not accommodative. But that is their viewpoint of religion, and that is what God has told us. Next, it is religion to them is supposed to be humanistic. It is not supposed to be apocalyptic. Okay, I'm trying to impress you with all these words that I copy from the notes. But let me try to explain what it means to be humanistic. Religion to them is supposed to bring out human capability. It's supposed to show that humans can do it. Humans are capable. And religion to them is not for redemption. It is not, there's no preparation for eternity. No. Alright? Religion to them is a tool to manipulate the spirit. Religion to them is a channel to the secret world or something like that. That is what religion is to them. And unlike them, religion to us talk about bad things, that sinners will go to hell, that the end of the world will come, things like that. So again, there is a different viewpoint of religion. So this is their viewpoint of religion. We need to understand their viewpoint of religion so that we can better penetrate them. So because of their viewpoint of religion, they also see that religion is supposed to be utilitarian and should not be altruistic. Meaning to say, religion is supposed to be useful. Useful. Whatever God, whichever God is useful to them, He's a good God. Okay? You need money, go to the prosperity God. You need mercy, go to the Goddess of Mercy. You need this, go to this. You need that, go to that. So, you have a full realm of God. Just pick and choose whichever you need, go to that one. And if that God answers your prayer, He's a good God. If not, pick another one. Right? So, that is their mentality and that's how they view religion. And for us, God is not to be manipulated. Sad to say, many Christians still think that way. But our God is not one to be manipulated. Our God, our relationship to God is such that the way we live our life ought to bring out who? God. Whatever we do, whatever we say, ultimately it is for the glory of God. And whatever we do, whatever we say is also for the well-being of others. It is Jesus, others, and you. It is never me, or it's not supposed to be me. Right? So, that's why sometimes when they look at true Christians, they think that they are crazy. Christians are crazy. Now, that the Christians will go to a forest and reach out to the lost people. Christian will do this and do that. Selfless thing. But that is what our relationship to God has caused us to do. Okay? And next, religion to them is supposed to be practical. Practical. That means, like what at the previous point, it is supposed to be useful. It is supposed to be closely related to personal well-being. What are the things? For example, education. Education. My mom used to tell me that I have the same birthday as Confucius. I don't know whether that's true. But he would ask me to pray to Confucius to have good results. And different gods have different purpose. Right? So religion again to them is for those purpose. And they are not able to see the thing that we are hoping for. What is that thing? Eternal life. Abundant life. They are not able to see that because to them, eternal life is something after you die. So what you need now is something to make your life even much better. And so when you have the gospel to offer to them, they will first check you out. What can I benefit? What can I benefit from Christianity now? Okay? And that is one of the things that we can help them to see, and that is the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised is not only after you die. It is here and now. It is here and now. The abundant life that Jesus Christ promised to all who believe in Him, you can have it now. You can have God's guidance, you can have God's peace right now. Alright? So, it's not materialistic, but that's one thing you can help them to see, that abundant life, they can have it now. And religion to them is supposed to be group or family oriented. It should not be individualistic. Meaning to say, it should be a family thing, a whole village thing, even a whole country thing, a whole clan thing. So that is why even in Singapore, in the Chinese, maybe all races is the same. When they have one of them, maybe the younger children, branch out to believe in Christ, that breaks the whole unity. And that is an embarrassment to the family. That is a shame to the family. And why? Because they view religion as a group, family-oriented thing, not an individual thing. Okay? So, already we have seen quite a few discouragement, right? Impossibilities, but we have also hopefully seen a few ways that we can reach out to them, a few possible channels that we can tap and reach them. Like for me, what I benefited from this workshop is to see the elderly from not just one angle, but from more angle. Okay? But that was 2 hours, I understand. Okay? This is half an hour. So I hope I'm not confusing you. Next, let's look at the difficulties that we would face in sharing the gospel with the elderly or anyone. Firstly, there is a need to overcome language barrier. Language barrier. Especially for the Chinese, when you have to deal with dialects. Okay, to deal with Mandarin is already one headache. Alright. To deal with Hokkien, my dialect group, that's almost... You don't even know how to communicate. There are different phrases, different terminology, different ideas that you have to present. I'm not sure if it's the same in Tagalog. Is it easy to bring it across? No, not so, because the terminology are different. But again, let that not be a barrier. Right? Work on it. Use as much words, whatever you know, to clear doubts. Because there are some doubts which are big doubts. For example, amongst the old folks, they always think that baptism equates salvation. Like my dad used to tell me, or my mom used to tell me, you can go to church but do not be baptized. Why? Because in their mind, it's always, once you're baptized, no more U-turn. Once you're baptized, they have lost their son. But they didn't know they already lost their son. Right? When he got saved. So they didn't know. So because they always equate baptism as salvation. And that's one thing that we can clear. We can try to clear that doubt. That baptism is not equal to salvation. Why? Because salvation is by grace through faith, and there you go. You just keep going. Right? The next thing, the next difficulty that we face is the need to overcome generation gap. This has to do with faith also, like what I mentioned earlier. I guess it's the same for both of you, most of you. As old as you are now, your parents will still probably look at you as being young. What do I mean? I can tell my mom that, oh, I'm having this backache, strain, you know, tiring. And then she would say, how could it be, you're so young? I say, mom, come on, I'm 43 already, 44 this year. I mean, so in their mind, you're always 14. I don't know. I cannot comprehend that. But in their mind, you're always young. Alright, but that's one thing. The other thing is that they will always look at you as you do not know what you're doing. Alright? So that is a disadvantage to you who is trying to reach out to him or her with the gospel. And to them, he's always, you know, the Chinese have always have this saying that they eat salt more than you eat rice. And there's another one I forgot, which is also very interesting. Anyway, I forgot what it is, but it's a comparison that they have walked on earth longer than you, and therefore they should be smarter than you, so don't try to tell him what to do, what to believe. Alright, so that in itself is already a barrier. They'll cut you off just like that. So how? Be humble. Be humble. Reverend Ong was telling us that do not come to an older folk and say, hey, let me tell you. He shared his experience that he would come to an older folk and say and ask certain things like, I would like to hear from you what you think about this. Could you please share with me things like that? And then the old folk will say, yeah, come. Let me tell you. Just sit down and listen. Just sit down and listen. I'm not telling you to agree with him. I'm just telling you to listen. To be a friend. You know, open up. Okay, I must hurry. And there's the need to understand cultural differences. Some cultural differences. Not that I'm Chinese, my parents is not Chinese, you know, not that kind of culture. But there's other cultural differences that are things that are taboo. Things that are taboo, things that you should not mention. It'd be good that if you can know that, right? Things that you shouldn't mention. Because religion to the elderly tends to be more emotional than logical. You probably have experienced that. A lot of time you try to explain to them, help them to see that their way cannot bring them salvation, but they don't care. Why? Because they just want to feel that what they have been doing is right. It's an emotional thing. It's not a logical thing. Right? So, you got to watch for that too. The need to redefine root beliefs. Like I mentioned earlier, to them, there's no such thing as eternal life, but only retribution, reincarnation. And to them, Christianity is a Western religion. It's a Western religion. So the Angmos can have their own religion, so we Chinese also should have our own religion. Right? That's their understanding. But that is also when we can help them, how we can help them to see, no, this is not a Western religion. This is a world religion. Right? Help them to see that. Okay, so I've covered quite a few things here. Next, in a hurry, I go to preparing to share the gospel. Preparing to share the gospel. What should we do? Pray for them. Pray for them. Nothing is more important than praying for them. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Yes, we are dealing with things that I mentioned earlier. Language barrier, cultural barrier, face issue, a lot of things. But we need to understand that what we are dealing with is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what we need to do is to ask God to help us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Things that prevent them from knowing God. We need to pray to God to ask them to remove those
scales.
Right? We need to pray to God to do that. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ so that they can see Christ. Alright? Prayer is that very important thing. Rely on the Almighty God simply and take the initiative to do what you're supposed to do. And then leave the result to God. The problem comes when we are too focused on the result. And then we don't care about spending time, we don't care about their feeling, we don't care about all these things, we just push through. Right? We just push through. And secondly, understand their likes and dislikes. I know that's a difficulty. That's difficult. Their likes and dislikes. But I'm not telling you to like what they like. But I'm just saying so that you can understand them. Understand them better in order to reach out to them, in order to care for them. Understand their background, their root beliefs, their culture, their religions. One of the soul winning course that I went through some years back has this acronym that we start off with. Can be very useful to you. Let me just give it to you free of charge. It's called FIRE, F-I-R-E. FIRE, F-I-R-E. And what is it useful for? It is to strike a conversation. For example, you have a new colleague, you know, go out for lunch, and you want to get to know this new colleague for a good motive, which is to share the gospel. So you don't want to just blurt out and say, when you die, where do you go? You know, things like that. So remember, F-I-R-E, F for family. F for family, I for interest, R for religious background, and then E for exploratory question. Or you can, when you go door knocking, knocking on doors, good morning sir, I'm from Heritage Baptist Church, and we're just visiting the neighborhood and get to know our neighbors, and this is our track, and we'd like to invite you down to our church. I say, oh, it's okay, I'm a Buddhist, no thank you, what do you do next? Okay, thank you, bye. Done. Right? No, there are other things you can do. You know, at a door, maybe one little child comes out, start with the F. Oh, so beautiful. Oh, wow, how sweet. Is that your daughter? Number what? Start talking about a bit of family. How long have you stayed here in this block? Just move in, things like that. Or maybe you see a bike. Oh, do you cycle? Interest. Right? Next thing you go for something more heavier, religious background. So, sir, can I ask you one question? What is your religion? Just curious. Get on to that. And then the next one comes, the difficult one. If you were to die. No. You can just say, thank you so much, sir, for your time. Before I go, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but actually you don't care. So you just, before I go, can I just ask you two more questions? Very simple question. Usually they will say, okay. Then comes your, if you were to die right now. Okay? So that's F-I-R-E. F-I-R-E. Very simple. Right. How do you relate with an elderly? Talk. Communicate. And communicate is supposed to be two-way. That means you listen. Talk, communicate, listen, understand with an open mind while standing firm on your faith. Next, praise the good and strength of your faith. Avoid attacking the shortcomings and wrongs of their religion. All right. Tell them what the gospel is. You don't have to tell them what theirs is not. Don't have to. I remember when I think we were quite newly married or not married, I also can't remember, 18 years ago, you know. So my father-in-law, at the dining table, I think he was quite resistant about me, I think, planning to go to full-time ministry or something like that. And then during dinner, he just blurted out and said that, you know, according to our belief, our children who do not follow our faith, when we all die, those children will not be able to sit at the same table to eat with us. Something like that. But they can only eat the crumbs under the table because they have gone away from our faith. And you know what good answer I told him? I reply. The strong and holier than thou me told him that something like, that is what you believe, but according to my belief, all other gods are actually from the devil. And that's basically what I told him. I think we were married already, otherwise I wouldn't have dared to say that. Alright, I think so. But that is what I told him. But you know how it turned out. Alright, he just kept quiet, finished his dinner, I kept quiet, finished my dinner, and that's it. We don't talk for the rest of the day. So, don't be too quick to attack. Why? Because your goal is to reach out to him. Your goal is not to silence him. There's a new martial art called what? Krav Maga. My two colleagues went and took some courses, and the colleagues told me that the instructor's instruction tip was that don't wait. You see that guy, you don't even care whether he's offensive, he's bad guy, or whatever. He appears in front of you, you think he is a threat, give him a punch. That's it. Wow. Okay, but that's not what you're doing. Right? You're not going out to punch everybody. You are going out, you're reaching out. So don't be too quick to silence people, to attack them. Rather, listen. And Reverend Ong shared an example that when he was younger, you know, he liked to get into debate, and he had this friend who was a Buddhist, and he got into a debate with him, and then they would exchange, you know, what Buddhism teach, and then he would share with him what the Bible teaches. And at the end of the day, the friend admitted that he lost. Nothing else to say. He lost. And then Reverend Ong said, see how powerful my God is, the Bible is. And you know what a friend told him? A friend said, so? I just don't want to believe in Christ. What can you do to me? So at that time, Reverend Ong didn't see the crunch, the consequence. But later on, as he reflected on it, what he saw is that one person lost for Christ. The potential, the possibility of him, that friend, coming to Christ has become more impossible. Why? Because of how antagonistic he was. So let's be careful. Of course, I'm not trying to tell you to accept any religion and say, oh, I agree and things like that. No, you know what I mean. Win a battle and reinforce the friendship. Keep the door open. All right, keep the door open. Do not be too quick to reject or be provoked by a religion that you are unfamiliar with. All right, don't just right away reject, give a punch. A religious debate leads to futility. Leave out your faith and gently point out the way of truth. Gently. Do it gently. Maintain a humble attitude and keep learning and studying. Of course, keep learning and studying, not that you would consider their faith. No. The purpose is to understand them better and try to evaluate how you can better penetrate them, penetrate their inner circle, penetrate their wall, and then finally reach their heart. That is your purpose. Okay? And not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees Sadducees is this Sunday. Sorry, jump too far. Who have an ulterior motive. No, your purpose is really to try to reach that person. Lovingly point out that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And then find similarities from the elderly's religion and cultural background and bridge that to Christ. What are the things? What are the similarities? For example, seeking forgiveness. Why do they pray? Why do they offer chicken and pork and things like that? What's the purpose? Why do they pray, seek forgiveness. Why do they want to appease a holy God? They do believe in heaven and hell as well. So, share, talk about that. Life after death. Life after death. This Sunday, there'll be the sermon. Alright, life after death. Compare that too. Show kindness and acts of love. Get along harmoniously with others. Live out the good characters of a Christian and win their respect for you and your faith. Alright? Win their respect, share your faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 tells us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of your hope, of the hope that is in you with meekness, humility," alright, "and fear. Fear of God, respect, that awe for God's holiness, meekness and fear." Strategies to sharing the gospel with the elderly. I'm way over time. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Bear that in mind. Bear that in mind, and that is why you reach out with the gospel. Persevere in prayer, continue to pray, show love and care. These are all things that I mentioned earlier. Build a close relationship, build common interests. Appropriately share the message, appropriately, remember, F-I-R-E. Do not condemn. Creatively use gospel sharing tools. Hopefully some other time I can share with you some of these tools. And finally, this verse, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew," Paul said, "that I might gain the Jew, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That is our goal. That is our goal. I know some people take these verses and say, okay, I can go to karaoke, I can have one or two glasses with my colleague. Why? Because that's what Paul say, right? Go with them, go where they go, you know, hang out with them, so that finally you can share the gospel with them. No, you'll be too drunk and too worldly to even share the gospel. Alright? So, what Paul is saying is not even that. Right? Not even that. Not that at all. What Paul is saying is what I have been sharing with you here. That is, try to understand them, try to know them, try to love them, try to care for them, be like what they are. Be as one of them. Why? Because they need love, they need care, they need friends. They need the gospel. And this I do for the gospel's sake. So that hopefully we can save some. And hopefully these are the ones that you truly love. Your parents. You know? Alright? Okay. That's all I have.